Okay, this is the kind of paper I actually like. It's not pretending the graph makes the model smarter. It's saying, when does the workflow itself need to be a product thing? Miles, that's very much the question, right?
Yeah, the useful move here is that they treat LangGraph as control flow with memory, not as some magic agent layer. If you need pause, resume retries, explicit branch decisions, and a trace of why a path happened, then the structure is the point.
I'm weirdly relieved by that framing. Also, we have absolutely talked ourselves into this exact argument before, just with a different logo on top. Exploring next episode 790, apparently still the same emotional loop.
Right, because the paper's examples are basically business process versions of the stuff we keep circling. SQL analytics with repair loops, retrieval with evidence gating, and policy review with human approval. Those are not toy demos if you're inside an actual workflow.
And that's the part that matters to me. If you're shipping a product where someone can't just get an answer and move on, but has to leave a record, wait for approval, or recover from a failure later, then the graph stops being cute and starts being load-bearing. They give the policy review example, and it's pretty clean. A user asks whether a high-risk employment action is allowed. The system gathers policy passages, scores risk, pauses, persists state, and then resumes after reviewer feedback. That's not a prompt. That's a process contract.
Exactly. The paper's key mechanism is type shared state. So instead of burying intermediate artifacts in prompt text, you carry them through nodes like draft decision and risk score, then route conditionally to finalize or interrupt for view. That makes the decision path inspectable instead of implicit.
Right. And that's the product story I can sell. Not look, an agent, but look, the system can show me what it saw, where it paused, and why it took the branch it took. That's the kind of thing compliance people stop glaring at for 5 seconds.
Sure, but the paper is also careful about the boundaries. If you're doing a short linear call, or just structured extraction, or a single retry wrapper, then the graph is probably extra machinery. They're basically saying, don't buy the whole framework because you're excited.
Which is annoyingly responsible. I hate when the answer is, it depends, because it's boring. But this is the good kind of depends. If the next step depends on explicit state, or a failure needs a repair path, or you need a branch history, then yes, the graph earns its keep.
And the alternative section is useful because it doesn't try to bully everything into one shape. Plain SDK or React loops for simple tool use. Schema-first systems for validation-heavy extraction. DSpy when the real goal is prompt or program optimization. That's just sane framework hygiene.
Oh, interesting.
The trade-off is that LangGraph asks you to think like a workflow designer. You need state schemas, node boundaries, route functions, checkpoints, maybe interrupts. That's more upfront structure, but it buys you durable execution and auditability when the process can't just fail fast and forget.
That's the part I'd ship if the user actually feels the pain. If the end user is living inside a long-running business process, the hidden prompt loop is exactly where you lose trust. The graph makes the boring stuff visible, which is usually where the product win is hiding.
Yeah, and honestly, this is the same control plane thesis again. The model is one piece. The workflow around it is what makes it survivable. I think the paper is strongest when it stops talking about agent glamour and starts talking about checkpoints, recovery, and route history.
Okay, but don't get too smug, Miles. You're sounding like the guy who thinks every problem is a state machine because he once had a good week with one.
I mean, fair, but this is one of the cases where the state machine is the product. If you've got human review, background work, or a path that needs to resume after a delay, I'd rather have explicit edges than a heroic prompt and a prayer.
No, that's fair. And the paper is actually pretty honest about where it's shippable. It's not saying every team should rebuild their app in graphs. It's saying the teams with long-running, stateful workflows should stop pretending control flow is invisible.
Exactly. Also, small thing, but I like that they call out route history as something you can debug. That's the difference between we think the agent did the right thing and we can show you the path it took. Tiny sentence, big production implication.
You know what this is? It's the fourth or fifth version of us saying boring infrastructure is the product, except this time the paper is politely nodding along instead of arguing. Which is rude, honestly.
It is basically our favorite annoying genre of paper. But this one earns it because the recipes are executable and the decision table is the actual value. If you don't need durable state, don't pay for it. If you do, the graph is there for a reason.
And that's the clean takeaway for me. I'd try this when the workflow itself needs receipts, pauses, and recovery. If it's just a quick answer or a simple extraction job, I'd stay lighter and keep my dignity.
And if someone tries to turn it into a universal default, I reserve the right to be annoying about it.
That's fair. Also, I cannot believe this is how we're spending a Wednesday, but at least it's a very on-brand Wednesday for exploring next.